And we're going to read the entire chapter, and it has 26 verses. And I'll split up the chapter and show you my outline of the chapter. And we'll look at it and see what the Lord has to say here. We're going to be speaking this evening and learning about faith in times of despair. Faith in times of despair. I don't know about you. I'm sure that this would be true of everyone here, but you're going to run into trouble and trials in your life, and there's going to be, seem like there's no way out, and you don't know what to do, but we still need to have faith in God. No matter what, we still need to have faith in God. And it may seem like you're doing everything right, you're serving God, you're giving, you're sacrificing, you're doing all of these things, and yet bad circumstances still comes into your life. Well, that is the case with the nation of Israel here in this chapter. They are experiencing a national tragedy. The chapter doesn't say what it is, doesn't say what the tragedy is, but it's some kind of national tragedy, and they're asking God for some help. And they need to keep their faith. They need to keep trusting God no matter what. And this is a common theme throughout the book of Psalms. And so we're going to look at this chapter here this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for blessing us and giving us help and strength, Father, through everything that we've gone through this week. And you brought us here this evening, Lord, and you've given us your word. Father, we pray that you'd help us to have open ears and open hearts to receive your word and just to learn something about you. And to be filled with thy spirit and to be edified and built up in the faith. Father, I pray that you'd help me and give me the strength and the help that I need to say what needs to be said. Lord, you know exactly what's on the hearts and minds of each and every person that's here, Father. You know what they're facing. You know their hearts, God. I pray that you'd minister to them and however you see fit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start reading in verse number 1. He says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou did in their days, in times of old. How thou did drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did they their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy right arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast had a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah." Now here's where the message gets a little bit different, as the psalmist writes. "But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, and shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Does that verse sound familiar? It's in Romans chapter number 8. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you questioned God and thought, why are these things happening to me? I mean, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing all these things the best that I know how. I'm living the Christian life. I love God. I love the Lord. I'm doing all these things, and yet evil still comes into my life. Bad circumstances still come into my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, and this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm confused. Why is evil happening to me? Why are these things happening in my life? If I might digress just a moment, this would be like the question that an atheist would ask. Now, I preached a sermon similar to this back in July 8th, out of Psalm chapter number 10. And the psalmist in that chapter says, Lord, why are you standing afar off? And the question that we posed and we thought about was, why does God seem like He's distant from us at times? Even when we are doing right and we're trying our best, why do you stand afar off? And the things that we learned from that chapter was that God does certain things at certain times to draw us to Himself. That was one of the things. The second thing was that He prepares our hearts for the future. And the third thing is just because who He is. That's the reason why God might do certain things. But the favorite, probably the argument that an atheist would bring to you, if he didn't believe in God, he would say, well, if God is good and He loves people and He loves His creation, why does He allow evil things to come into existence? Why does He allow bad things to come into people's lives if He's a God of love? That's what an atheist would say. That's one of their arguments that they would bring up. Well, the first problem is with an unbeliever is he's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe. I mean, that's the reason he's posing this question to you. And for the sake of an argument, the existence of evil proves the existence of a moral standard. If there's evil in this world, there's got to be good. There's got to be right. So if there's evil in this world, there has to be a moral standard that we go by. Now, they would deny this because they can't go by standards like that. They think that everything just happened accidentally and we're just kind of, you know, evolving and bumping around out here and nothing has any meaning, nothing makes any sense. It just happened. But there is a moral standard if there is evil. And there is evil in this world. Another thing that it proves is the necessity for justice. If there is evil in this world, there must be justice doled out. It's got to come. It must come. And number three, that it also proves that if there is evil in this world, there is a necessity of a Savior. Because there is going to be a judgment coming one day. And you and I can't save ourselves. There is absolutely nothing that we can add to salvation to save ourselves. So the reality of evil in this world and why it comes, it just proves to me that there actually is a God out there. There actually is a God. And I don't have all the answers as to why God would allow evil into this world, even in the lives of His children that He's bought and paid for. But we're going to look at some things about what we ought to do if evil comes into our life. Evil doesn't come from God. It finds itself, it actually originates with the devil. I mean, we all know this. Read Isaiah chapter number 14. He was cast out of heaven because of evil. Evil originates not with God, but from the heart of man. Out of the heart of man comes fornications, adulteries, murders, lies, theft. All of these come from the heart of man. Yeah. That's where it all comes from. It doesn't come from God. Now, I know that God has a plan and He has a purpose in everything that He does and everything that He allows. And the people that we're speaking about here in this chapter that we just read, these people are questioning why God has allowed these things to happen in their life. They're saying, you know, we are God's chosen people. We have not broken the covenant. We are obeying you. And yet you have allowed enemies to come into our nation, upon our land, and they are oppressing us, and we don't understand these things. Why is evil coming into our life? We can relate that to us. We are God's people. We are Christians. You've been born again. You're saved. You've been born again. But yet, sometimes, bad circumstances come into our lives, and we don't know why they come into our lives. Don't let that be a stumbling block to your faith. I know you might question God at times. Everyone does. I understand that. Because we don't always understand the big scheme of the things that are going on in God's mind. We don't understand what's going to happen 10 years from now. We don't understand how our bad circumstances might affect somebody else, and God may be working in somebody else's life through your circumstances. We don't know all of those things. We must keep our eyes focused on God and keep our faith focused on Him, even in the times of bad circumstances that come into our lives. So we must have faith in times of despair. If we want to outline this chapter, verses 1 to 3, the psalmist is looking at Israel's past history. He says, I've heard about all these things. I've heard about how God worked. I've heard about how God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was not by our hand, but by a mighty act of God. He heard about all these things, so it's Israel's past history in verses 1 to 3. Then in verses 4 to 8, it's Israel's current faith in God. Well, yes, they're having problems, but they still have faith in God. They're still saying, God, give us some deliverance at this time. I know that things are bad right now, but give us some deliverance right now. They still have faith. They're still asking God. They're still praying to God. Then verses 9 to 22, we read about Israel's current circumstances, how God had allowed things to happen in their life and their nation. It's a national tragedy. There's mourning going on there. I mean, there's real hurting going on in these words that we just read right here. These are not just neutral words here. There's some hurting going on here. And there's some questioning going on here. And then in verses 23 to 26, it's Israel's prayer for future deliverance. So they're saying, God, what do we do in times of trouble, in times of despair? They said in verse number 17, we haven't forgotten you, God. We haven't gone away from your commandments. We're keeping your word. Verse 18 says, we have not turned our back on you. We're still obeying the covenant. They said in verse number 21, they said, if we did this, if we did go away from God's covenant and forsake God's commandment, if we did stretch out our hands to a strange God, wouldn't God know this? God knows our hearts. God knows about what's going on in our hearts. He knows if we're going to leave Him. And we haven't done that. So they're questioning these things, and they're kind of asking, look, what's going on? They're puzzled and they're perplexed about the situation that they find themselves in. You know, it's understandable if God would send judgment on a nation for doing wrong, you know, turning their back on God, and God did that to them several times in the Old Testament. But when they're doing right, you see, they're puzzled about these things. This psalmist here seems just perplexed that God, and it seems to him that God is very distant and unaware, and that God does not care about them anymore. But can I tell you something here this evening? He was mistaken, because God does care, and he was not unaware of their circumstances. He knew exactly what was going on here. So what do we do in our lives if it seems that God has forgotten us and we feel alone And God doesn't know what about our circumstances and all the problems that we have. What do we do in those situations? I want you to remember four truths that are found in difficult times when God seems distant or absent. Four things to remember. Number one, we need to remember that what God has done in the past. What God has done in the past. Number two, we need to remember to trust Him in the present, even in difficult circumstances. Number three, remember who you are in Christ and who your identity. Remember your identity in Christ. And number four, remember that God has a purpose and a plan in everything. You remember those four things whenever God seems distant or disconnected from you as His child. Number one, we remember what God has done in the past. We see this in verses number 1 to 3. The psalmist says in verse number 1, we have heard with our ears. We've heard about it. We've heard about what God has done. Our fathers have told us about the victories that God has gained in the past. We've heard about all these things. We've heard about the Red Sea crossing. We've heard about how God opened up the Red Sea. We've heard about how God drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea. We've heard about how the Jericho walls came tumbling down after they marched around it 13 times. We've heard about all that. We've heard about all the great battles. We've heard about Joshua and how he led the children of Israel all the way through the Promised Land and how God won the victory. And by the way, we read in these verses here that this psalmist does not give Israel any of the credit for what happened. He gives God all of the credit. He says, God, you did this. You are the one that won the victory. It was by your right hand. It was by your power. And it was not by us or anything about us. He says, by the way, you did this by the light of your countenance, in verse number 3, and because thou hast found, we had found favor in your eyes. That's why. Only because of your grace are we here. Only because of these victories that we have. So he says, man, I'm looking back and I'm seeing what God has done in the past. I'm looking at all of these things. God had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. He'd won all the battles. He'd done all these things. And when you and I experience failures, troubles, trials, hard times, disappointments, all those things in your life, you know what you need to do? Look back. Look back. Hey, man, you remember how God has done so much for me and what He's done for me? You remember how God has delivered me from all of my troubles and things that could have gotten me so many times? Man, God has been so good to me. I'm here only because of God. It wasn't because of my strength. It wasn't because of my smarts. It wasn't because of my intellect. It was because of God. You look back and you see what God has done in the past. We take communion here once a year. You know why we do that? We want to remember what God has done for us. Whenever Jesus met with His disciples, He says, this do in remembrance of me. What are we doing? We're remembering about the victory that was won on the cross. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. I mean, some people might look at that. Some people might look at a cross and somebody, a Jew dying on a cross, and they might think that's defeat. They might think that's a failure. They might think that that's insignificant, but for a Christian, my goodness, we got victory that day on the cross whenever Jesus said, it is finished. Oh my goodness, man, it was finished. Everything was accomplished on the cross that day. It was all finished. And when we take communion, we think about what Jesus Christ did for us and the victory that was won. Whenever you have despair, trials and troubles, look back. Remember what Jesus Christ did. Remember the victory that He won. Remember what He's done for you. What did he win that day on the cross? He won victory over death. He won victory over sin. He won victory over the devil. All of those things. He gained the victory for us. So when it looks bleak, don't forget what God has done for you in the past, just as these Israelites did here. Verse number one, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us, fathers, mothers, it's our responsibility to tell our children and teach our children what God has done for us in the past? Do your children ever hear you praising God, saying, man, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. God did this for me. God has helped me in my marriage. God has given me a good marriage. God has given me a good home. Praise God for all of those things. Or do they hear you bragging about, well, I did this and I did that and all these things. I did, and God's nowhere in the picture. Do you teach your children to praise God and look back? Give Him all the credit, all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory. Man, I want my children to remember, hey, man, God did something in the life of my father. And I want the same thing. I want that Christian life. Do your children ever hear you praise God? Does God play just a supporting role in your life story, or is He your ultimate strength and ultimate Savior? Look back whenever you have problems. Look back. Not only that, remember what God has done in the past, but don't forget to trust Him in the present. Just as this psalmist did here. He looked back to the past, but he said, hey, I need grace for today. I have problems today, and I'm going to trust Him today. I'm going to ask Him today. I'm going to praise Him today. When you have troubles and trials in your life, don't forget to trust God in the present. We see this in verse number 4-8. What does he say here? Even in trouble, even in trials, he says, Thou art my King, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. He says, I'm still going to trust Him anyway. I have problems today. I'm going to trust Him today. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through Thee, we will push down our enemies. I got troubles and trials and problems today. Well, by God's grace, I'm going to go through those troubles and trials, and I'm going to get to where I need to be, and God's going to help me to get through those things. Verse number 8, he says, In God we boast all the day long. In God we praise. They needed help today. They needed grace today. And you and I need grace and help today is what we need. They recognized their present troubles, but they said, Guess what? I'm going to still trust God today. When you have troubles and trials, trust God today. Ask God to help you today. We cannot live in the past failures or victories of our lives, but we must remember what God has done and trust Him today. We live our life today. The Bible says, for the child of God, it says, Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. How did you get saved? It was through faith. By grace are you saved through faith? Well, the faith doesn't stop there. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you stop living by faith. You keep on going. Day after day after day, the just shall live by faith. It says in Hebrews 10:38, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what the danger is sometimes? When things get bad and things get bleak at times, we tend to pull away from God a little bit. Maybe turn our backs on God. Hey, everything's not going the way that I think they ought to go. And so I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go away from God and turn our back on God. Don't let that be your case. Trust God today for the help that you need. Trust Him today. Faith is a way of life. For the child of God, Paul says, For we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a way of life. It's not a one-time event. It's not an every once in a while event, but it's an everyday way of life for the child of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. All of the bad things that happened to Job, you know what Job said? He says, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to keep on trusting him. Bad things are happening. I've lost some things in my life. I've lost everything in my life, but yet I'm going to trust him anyway. And God never promised us that the Christian life would be a bed of roses. Never promised us that we would never have any troubles or problems in our life. As a matter of fact, God, Jesus Christ said the exact opposite, didn't He? Jesus didn't tell His disciples, Boy, if you follow me, I got a big party going on. Come on, we're all in. No, He didn't say that. He says, if you follow me, the world will hate you. If you follow me, your family members will probably want to disassociate themselves from you and separate from you. Probably. If you follow me, you might lose your life. If you follow me, you're going to have to bear a cross. That's what he said. You see, so don't lose faith in the Lord. Keep on going, keep trusting Him, and keep your faith. So keep trusting Him for present mercies, keep praising Him, keep following Him. We can keep trusting Him even through difficult times because of who we are in Christ. Why do we keep going in the Christian life? Why do we keep going? Because of who we are. That's why. Because we're Christians, correct? Because God is our Father and we are His children. Remember who you are in Christ. Look over at verse number 17. Verse number 17. The psalmist here is writing here, and he remembers the covenant that he and the nation of Israel is with God, that they are in with God. Verse number 17 says, "All this has come upon us, yet have we forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant." He says, hey, all of these things have happened to us, but yet we are still the covenant people of God. They are still God's chosen people. Even though bad things are happening, they are still in a covenant with God. The psalmist did not fail to recognize the position of the nation's relationship to Lord God Jehovah. When bad things happen in your life, don't forget who you are in Christ. In Christ. They were experiencing attacks and defeats that did not change their position or their relationship with God. Every one of us are going to experience failures, aren't we? Every one of us are going to disappoint ourselves at some time, at some point. Did you know that that does not change your position with God? Does not change your relationship with God? Same with the nation of Israel. They're going to be God's chosen people from now till the end of time. Amen. You can read about that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 to 37. God told Jeremiah, He said, it doesn't matter. As long as the sun is up in the sky, Israel will be my chosen nation. You and I are in a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And nothing that you and I can do, no circumstances that could happen in our lives would change that fact one iota at all. We are still God's people. In Christ, we are redeemed. In Christ, we are chosen. In Christ, we are regenerated. In Christ, we are justified. In Christ, we are glorified. That's coming in the future. In Christ, we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. Nothing's going to change that. Doesn't matter how bad life gets on here on this earth. Doesn't matter how wacko the United States gets. Doesn't matter how bad your life gets. We are still God's chosen people. We are still in a relationship with God. Lastly, we must remember in difficult circumstances that God has allowed in our life that He has a purpose and a plan for everything. Like I said at the beginning of the message, we don't know what they are. We don't always understand what's happening or why things are happening. But remember, in bad situations, that God still has a plan and a purpose in everything. Look at verse number 22, what the psalmist says. He says, "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long." God had a hand in that, didn't He? God had something to do with that. Again, in verse number 26, arise for our help and redeem us, for thy mercy's sake. God had a plan in all of this. Now, he wasn't afraid to attribute all of the victories to God, was he? No, he says, God's done all these things for me. And in the past, He's done all of these things. He didn't fail to express confidence that God would help them in the future. But he says, God's allowed all these things too. He's allowed all these things. Look at verse number 9, "But thou hast cast off." He's talking about God. Verse number 10, "Thou makest us to turn back." Verse 11, "Thou hast given us like sheep." Verse 12, "Thou sellest thy people." Verse 13, "Thou makest us to reproach." Verse 14, "Thou makest us to byword." All of these things, well, God had a plan in those things. God has a purpose in those things. Bad things happen in our lives. Evil comes into our lives. We don't know why. We don't understand why, but I believe and I have faith that God has a plan and a purpose for everything. We don't always know what they are, like I said, but God has a plan and a purpose for all of these things. Everything that we're experiencing, all the pain, suffering, all of these things, God has a plan and a purpose. We cannot and will not understand everything on this side of eternity, but I don't believe that anything is an accident. There are no accidents. There is no luck. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in cosmic luck and all these things. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln. Isn't he the 16th president? Is that correct? 16th president. I was reading a story about him. The story said that Abraham Lincoln was, 6'4", awkward man, 22, 23 years old, awkward man. The story said that when he wore clothes, he was poor. He came from a farmer. His dad was a farmer, not a successful farmer. He's a real poor man, and his sleeves would come up to his forearms when he wore his clothes because he didn't have the right size clothes, and sometimes his breeches would come up to mid-calf. So he's expecting a flood. But Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents in the United States, he worked at a dry goods store, and he wanted to be a lawyer, but he was so poor, his family, they couldn't afford that. They couldn't afford to send him to law school, and the closest law school was 300 miles away. And so he was at this dry goods store. He owned it, but it was a failing business, about to go broke, in debt. He was standing out there in front of his dry goods store one day, and a farmer came by, and he was going to leave the area, and he's trying to get rid of some of his stuff. He's moving. He said, "I'm going to sell some stuff here to this guy standing out in front of this dry goods store." And it came up to Abraham Lincoln. He was standing there, and he said, "Hey, fella, I got some stuff I want to sell you. We're leaving the area, and I'm going to see if you want to buy stuff." And he said, "Well, I don't have any money. I can't afford any of this stuff." The man pressed him, and he says, "Well, come on, you can buy something. I've got this big barrel right here in my wagon, and I'll sell it to you for 50 cents. He said, "Okay, I'll take it." So he took the barrel, hauled it into his store, and the barrel sat there for a few months, and he didn't think anything about it. One day he was cleaning out his store, dumped the barrel upside down, and some trash came out, and then a book came out. And it was the Blackstone's Commentaries, I believe it's what it's called, Blackstone's Commentaries. Did you know that inspired Abraham Lincoln to become a lawyer? And he studied that book and studied that book and studied that book. And you ought to read the story about Abraham Lincoln and all of the domino effect that happened from that one event right there. And it came all the way down to the presidency of the United States. Did you know there's a plan and a purpose in everything? None of us are here by accident. And the things that are happening, they might seem trivial to you. They might seem unimportant. But they are. They're important. God has a plan and a purpose in everything. We can't see it right now. And Abraham Lincoln, when he saw that commentary, he wouldn't have known that one day he was going to be president of the United States and free the slaves. But yet that's what happened. All of us are here for a reason and a purpose. Don't forget those things. Don't forget about what God has done for you in the past.